Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor at the Kodesh Family Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now, get ready to be transformed by this message.
As we enter into a time of hearing from our Lord, Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, for your kindness. Thank you for the opportunity we have to sit under your feet to hear your word. Holy Spirit, have your way once again. Speak to our hearts. Minister to us. Change us, transform our minds in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Spirit of God. We give you honor. We acknowledge your presence. We quench you not. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. This afternoon, we want to continue our message on others. We are talking about others. And we shared last week that this message came about as a result of one of the great men of God that ever lived, in the person of William Booth of the Salvation Army, who was planning a meeting with his pastors and his leaders, and they all gathered. But unfortunately, he could not make the meeting. So he wrote them a telegram. He sent a telegram to them. And when they all gathered, they were waiting for the telegram to be read. And when they opened up the telegram, there was only one word, others. That was the only word. And the Lord ministered to them that this great man of God wanted to draw their attention from themselves to others. Hallelujah. And last week, we shared a lot about others, how that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, was very much concerned about others. Hallelujah. Today we want to talk about what Jesus did for others. What he did for others. I think it's a good place to clap your hands. What Jesus did for others. Amen. If you are a Christian, you are Christ-like, I think you must be interested in what your Savior did. If you want to be like someone, Christ-like, a Christian, then you want to be interested in what he did. Amen. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 35. If you have the book Others, you can open up to chapter 2. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 35. I read, it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. You know, the few verses before that, the Pharisees had gathered and they were questioning Jesus. They were questioning him with some of the most difficult questions they had asked him. You know, there was a woman who had a husband, and the husband died, and a brother married her, and the brother also died, and another brother married her, and that one also died, and that continued until seven brothers. I said, what a woman. What kind of woman will marry all seven brothers and kill them? You know, how can you ask questions like that? But that was the question they put to Jesus. That all seven brothers died. So their question to Jesus was, so in the resurrection, who is going to marry this woman? And Jesus says, there's no marriage in the resurrection. There is no marriage in the resurrection. So that question was irrelevant. Are you listening? And then he took the advantage to talk about the resurrection. That our God is not a God of the dead, but is the God of the living. Amen. And therefore, people will resurrect. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So they were astonished by his answers. And so the Bible says, then the Sadducees met. I think the first group was the Sadducees. And then the Pharisees met. They had a meeting to come up with a question that he cannot answer. And the Bible says they brought a law question and it ought to be asked by a lawyer. Are you listening? It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is almost the entire Bible is hang on these two commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus is teaching us that the greatest of all the commandments God has given to us is one, to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Amen. He said that is the number one, the greatest commandment. Hallelujah. And then he said, the second commandment, number two, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you read up scripture in the common English version, it says, the second most important commandment is like this one. As it is. And it is, love others. Love others as much as you love yourself. Love others. So your neighbor is the others in your life. Hallelujah. And then it says, all the law of Moses and the books of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Amen. He says, all the law, all the prophets' writings, everything, they are based on these two commandments. Amen. Amen. So in other words, what Jesus was saying is that if you are able to do these two important commandments, you have done everything that there is in the Bible. Are you listening? Do you understand? He says, the whole of the Bible, the whole of the prophet, the whole of the laws are based on these two commandments. That means the scriptures are summarized on these two commandments. And if you are able to obey these two commandments, you have fulfilled everything that is in the Bible. Isn't that so? Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? It means if you love God, amen. How many of you love God? Yes, one person. I don't see your hand. You don't love God. I say, how many of you love God? Wow. Okay. Now, the scripture is saying, if you love God and you do not love your neighbor, you have disobeyed 50% of the things in the Bible. Are you listening? You have disobeyed. You have sinned against 50% of the things in the Bible. It says, if you love God and you do not love your neighbor, because the Bible says, these two commandments are upon which all the laws of the prophets, the books of the prophets, and the laws of Moses hang. Or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. So Jesus came into the world to teach us to love others the way we love ourselves. Now, how many of you agree that all human beings love themselves? All human beings love themselves. We all love ourselves. But it is time now to love your neighbor as well. Hallelujah. People love their wives. They love their husbands. People love their children. They love all the things that are in their homes and so on. Now, loving these people alone does not fulfill the scripture. I don't think you call your children neighbors and you call your wife neighbor. Is there anyone like that? You say, who is your neighbor? My wife, my husband, my children. But there are others outside of your family that you call neighbors. Hallelujah. And if these are the only people you love, then you are not fulfilling the scripture. Hallelujah. Your neighbor represents the others of your life. Others are the people whom God has called you to care for. Hallelujah. So notice what Jesus said about others. He said, love them the way you love yourself. Love them the way you love yourself. That is how Jesus expects you to love others. So you can be a person who leads to enhance yourself. You decorate your life and yourself. You improve yourself. And this is what you live for. Now, that is a very simple way of living. To live for self-enhancement. Hallelujah. To live to enhance your life. Now, you have to understand that there is nothing wrong with improving your life. To improving yourself. There is nothing wrong with you going to school. There is nothing wrong with you working hard for your degree. There is nothing wrong with that. Are you listening? There is nothing wrong with you working hard to buy a nice house. There is nothing wrong with working hard to buy a nice car. Are you listening? Abba, there is nothing wrong with that. To work hard and to buy a nice dress. And that you always look nice. That people always give you comments. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that is all you live for, to enhance your life, if your day-to-day activities, the way you are living, every day you rise up, you go and you come, you set your alarm, and it is to make you able to enhance yourself. You sleep late, you sleep few hours, and the reason is so you can enhance yourself. Are you listening? You know, you travel sleepy, you are tired, you are going and you are coming, and it's to enhance yourself, to just get a degree, to buy a nice car, to be able to pay your rent and your mortgage, and to wear nice dresses. If that is the only thing your day-to-day activity is bringing you, then you are living the most lowest kind of life. It's a very low life you are living. Are you listening? What, somebody doesn't like my message? Or suddenly, I'm preaching a good message. I said I'm preaching a good message. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? If that is all you are living for, then it's a low kind of life. Say amen. Amen. You don't worry about anyone else. You don't care about anyone. All you live for is about yourself. Hallelujah. Then that is a very low kind of life. Tell your neighbor, it's a very low kind of life. Say others. Say others. Amen. Amen. Your life must be about others. The Lord expects that you live a life that is inclusive of others. Hallelujah. Say you have lived for yourself for too long. Say you have cared for yourself for too long. It's about time that you care about others. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. You are living to promote yourself. You are living to enhance yourself. You are living to increase yourself. It's about time you care about others. Hallelujah. So, I want to give you some few things that Jesus did for others. The first one, Jesus came to this world for others. He came to this world for others. Hallelujah. You see, most pastors are busy attending to their rich businessmen and rich congregation who are already over visited and over attended to. Jesus Christ also could have stayed in heaven and he could have enjoyed heaven where there was peace, where there was prosperity. He didn't need to leave the safety of heaven and come to live among wicked people like you and I. Isn't that so? He could have stayed there, but he did not. Jesus came. He came down from heaven. Jesus came all the way from heaven. Jesus came far away from heaven just for you and I. Hallelujah. He came all the way. Amen. Today, you can hardly find a successful minister of the gospel going away from his comfortable chair doing anything else for God. Many pastors are comfortable with their congregation and feeding them, and they keep getting larger and fatter and fatter and fatter without having to worry about others. But that is not the vision of our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. That is not the vision of the one who came from heaven to die for you. And sometimes as Christians, we seem to be saying, let them go to hell. Leave them alone. I don't know why they live so far away. I don't know why they live that far. And we don't seem to care about these people. Hallelujah. We seem to be saying, leave them. If they want, they will come. Hallelujah. But Jesus was so different. He came for others. He went out of his way and came to this earth where we were lost and perishing. Hallelujah. Where we were lost and perishing. Luke chapter 19 and verse 9. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him. You know, this was when Jesus was passing through Jericho, and a lot of people followed him. There was a large crowd that was following him. Many people who have heard of him came, and they were very close. And there was one person that just heard about what is happening, and he had never seen Jesus before. And the Bible says, for his stature, he could not even see because he was a very small man. And he could not see through the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed on a sycamore tree. And he sat on a tree waiting for Jesus to pass by. Jesus was struck with the crowd. large crowd. And when he got to the tree, he was so mindful of that one person who is not in the crowd. He was so mindful of that one person who needed to see him. And the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, because he says, Zacchaeus, come down. He invited him to come down. And he says, I'm going to be with you in your house today. Amongst the crowd, he will leave all of them who have now experienced his miracles, who have now seen his power, who have now heard his preaching, for this one person that also needs salvation. And he says, I will be with you in your house today. And he came to his house. And verse 9, in Luke 19, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he, what? I can't hear you. Also, as much as he also. There is one more person also. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Others. He cares about others. The Savior cares about others. This Palm Sunday, let it remind you of the mission of the Savior, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He cares about the lost. He cares about others. He cares about that one person that the crowd will pass by. He cares about that one person that everyone walks by at the mall. He cares about that one person that is sitting on the train alone and looking sad. He cares about that one person. Others. He cares about that one person that doesn't look like you, that doesn't speak like you. He cares. John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that ye may have life. I am come that ye may have life. I am come. I left the heavens. Yes, it was beautiful there, but I came that ye may have life. He thought about others who were perishing. Hallelujah. He thought about the lost and perishing souls on earth, and he decided to come. Say others. Say others. The next one, Jesus loved others. So what was the first one? Jesus came for others. The next one, Jesus loved others. Amen. Amen. So as we were saying, most people simply love their husbands, love their wives, and love their children. Some people show great love for their extended family. Some people also have strong and extraordinary love for their tribesmen. Amen. Isn't that so? Do you know a person like that? Oh, yes. But Jesus Christ loved this whole world full of wicked people. The great love for others is the exact opposite of human selfishness, which has destroyed our world today. Hardly do the rich and prosperous churches of our world think about others. Hallelujah. They are consumed, so consumed with their own needs that they do not realize that the church is shrinking because of their self-centeredness. The prosperous churches in America today do not, or any longer, send missionaries to poor nations in South America, to Africa, to Asia, and to all these places. Hardly would you hear of a rich, prosperous American church sending missionaries to these poor nations. Very few churches are doing that. Is somebody listening to me? We love to see congregation getting larger and larger with beautiful cars at our lots, filled up and overflowing and down the roads. That is what we want to see. But that is not the vision of our Savior. Yes, there was a large crowd. He saw them. But there was one more soul. He also, a son of Abraham, is worthy of the Savior leaving the crowd and going to his house. He also. That is the Savior. That is his mission. The one that is lost. That is why the scripture says he will leave the 99 who need not to be cared for, who have known the scriptures, who have been fed, who are saved, and he will go out to look for others. That is a rich kind of life. That is a life worth living. Hallelujah. When you care about others. And the reason why our churches are shrinking is because we do not care about others. Any church that does not think of others begins to lose the heavenly backing. You didn't hear me. Any church that does not care about others, you lose the heavenly backing. Any church that does not care about others, you lose the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. You can preach about him. You can talk about him. You can make believe that he's there. But if you don't care about others, you lose your very foundational responsibility for which he was given. Because the church builder, the supplier of the Holy Spirit, the giver of the power, he says his coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when he gives the power, when he gives the Holy Spirit, you can see clearly that the presence of the Holy Spirit is for others. When he promises the Holy Spirit, you can see clearly that his presence is for others. And so in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I believe you all remember that scripture. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall receive power. There will be power in the church. If you are sleeping on this message, you are not spiritual at all. So if you are sleeping, the devil is really putting heavy things on your eyes and doesn't want you to hear what I'm saying. Are you listening? I'm preaching a very important message. It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what will that make you? And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. That means amongst your people, amongst your family, amongst the people around you. First, you shall be witnesses unto them. But you don't stay there. You shall be witnesses unto the Americans. But you don't just stay there. You shall be witnesses to the Nigerians, but you don't just stay there. You shall be witnesses to the Ghanaians, but you just don't stay there. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and then in all of Judea. And you just don't stay in Judea. And then in all of Samaria, the people that you consider as outcasts, I died for them too. The people who do not observe your traditions. The people who don't do things like you. The people who don't dress like you. Who don't eat food like you. Who don't speak like you. I died for them also. So he says, unto in Samaria, be witnesses. And when you are done with them, there are still others. And he says, and unto the outermost part of the earth. Go beyond. Go further. Travel further. Go further. There are others. There are still others who have not heard. There are others in villages, in towns. There are others who have also not heard. I died for all of them. You ought to go. Amen. There are others. Ernest, are you listening? There are others. Hallelujah. Steve, there are others. There are others. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. If you have the NLT, be kind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord. You see, it has never become a fearful responsibility to you. You have not come to understand that this is a fearful responsibility to the Lord. You have not come to that terms. That is why you take it lightly. That is why when we announce evangelism, you don't even respond. That is why when you are encouraged to go and witness to someone, you don't see it as a fearful responsibility to share the gospel with someone, to tell someone about Jesus. That is such a fearful responsibility. I'm talking about a fearful responsibility. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard. 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 We are tired, but working hard means you are tired, but you are working. We work hard. We work hard. You have not understood that this is a fearful responsibility. He says, we work hard to persuade. We work hard to persuade others. We work hard. God knows we are sincere. And I hope you also know this too. Amen. Jesus came to die for others. He loved others. He cared about others. Hallelujah. Amen. By thinking about others, God has won to himself many sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Amen. It is by thinking of others. Jesus came because of others, and today millions of people have come to receive him just because he thought about others. The Bible says in John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus loved others. Amen. Amen. Number three, Jesus lived for others. Jesus lived for others. We're almost done. Jesus lived for others. Are you being blessed?
Yes.
Jesus lived for others. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15, it says, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. I want to read up from the NLT. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. The love of Christ controls us or constrains us. It means it guides us how we live. It guides us how we work. Are you listening? It controls us. The love of Christ. Jesus Christ's love for us. When we think about it, when we experience it, now it constrains us. It guides how we live our lives. The reason why your life is not guided by this love is you have not truly experienced it. You have not truly experienced it. You are not conscious of a great sacrifice that was made for you. So you don't know the value of the love. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Don't we? Yes. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life, now listen, will no longer live for themselves. They will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. That is what that love would make you. When you have experienced it, it constrains you. It causes you to live in a certain way. It makes you do certain things that you ordinarily will not do. It makes you rise up at an hour that you normally will not do to pray for others. When you have experienced that love, it makes you adjust your life. It makes you adjust your sleep, your rest, your comfort. It makes you adjust how you pursue the things of this world. When you have experienced that love, it makes you now think a different way. I don't think you understand what I'm sharing with you. If you understand what I'm sharing with you, give me a wave. When the love of Christ is in you, your life is not the kind of life you are living. Your life is never pursuing and pursuing and pursuing for yourself. It makes you, it constrains you, it controls you. Do you listen and understand? Are you listening to me? It makes you now do certain things. Holy Spirit, give me the tongue of a learned that you will understand what I'm sharing with them. When you have experienced the love of Christ, it constrains you. It controls you. When you have experienced that love, it makes you want to go out when you don't want to. It makes you want to evangelize when you don't want to. It makes you wake up to pray when you don't want to. It makes you fast when you don't want to. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. It controls us. Such that, it says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. That old life must die. This old life of pursuing after yourself and caring for yourself and concentrating on yourself and seeking for yourself must die. It must die. If it does not die, then you have not experienced that love. If you are still living that old life of caring for yourself and not others, you have not experienced that love. It kills the old life. It kills the old desire. It kills the desire to be me, myself, and I. It kills it. It kills the desire to be my wife and my children, my husband and my children. It kills that desire. It kills the desire of my home, my house, my car. It kills it. It makes you now live for Christ, to care about others. Living for Christ is to live his mission, is to live the reason for which the Savior came. And the reason for which the Savior came is for others. It's for others. It's for others. Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? So don't be comfortable, don't be happy that now this is your life. I have arrived and I don't need anyone else. If you ever come to that stage, you have not experienced the love of God. Say others. Say others. He says that kind of love is what constrained Paul to no longer live for himself. The attitude that Jesus displayed in not living for himself must greatly motivate us all to no longer live for ourselves, but unto others. From henceforth, you must no longer live for your life and for yourself. You must live your life for others, just as Jesus, your Savior, did. And the last one, Jesus died for others. Jesus died for others. Hallelujah. Matthew 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the Hallelujah. Yes. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Matthew 26 and 28. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He gave his blood to save others. Hallelujah. After loving others, after living for others, after serving others, after caring for others, ministering to others, and healing others, Jesus went one further step and died for others. What do you do for others? Ask your neighbor, what do you do for others? Demand an answer. Ask your neighbor. You see, this is not one of the questions that we ask and we laugh. It's a serious question. Amen. It's a serious question. Because it's a fearful responsibility. You see, you think that your responsibility to, listen to me, please. I want your attention. You may think that your responsibility to wake up early enough, to be at work early on time, to make your boss pleased enough, is a very serious responsibility. You think that is a very serious responsibility. But your responsibility to care about others, the Bible says, it's a fearful responsibility. A fearful responsibility. You have no idea. The Bible says, God gave his only begotten son, only son, to die for the world. Therefore, he deemed it a serious responsibility to let anyone who does not know about this to know. He deems it a very serious responsibility of the one who knows. that you know that Jesus Christ died for the sins of sinners, the lost and the perishing, and that you have received that salvation, now you have such a serious responsibility to let another person know. Dana, we have a serious responsibility. Zidian, we have a serious responsibility. More serious than that, your boss expects you to be on time. Amen. Most of us will not even lift a finger for others. The idea of dying for others is even unthinkable to most of us. Many people say, why should I die for someone? I don't even want to die for myself. Why should I die for someone? Let them go to hell, is the unspoken cry of many believers today. They say, I don't know how people got into their misfortunate and unfortunate state. It is not my fault that people are going to hell. It is not my fault that people are suffering. I didn't even cause the problem, and I don't see how I'm going to solve them. Many of us think to ourselves, these ungrateful people do not deserve even 5 minutes of my time. You know, when you walk on the street and you are trying to share the gospel and people are walking by and some of them snub you and they insult you and you think that they are not even worth your time. But the Lord is expecting that they will all hear, that they will all hear, that they will all hear. Before the end will come, let them hear. That is your message. That is your witness. That is your responsibility. That is why you have the Holy Spirit, that you go and be a witness. You leave them to the Lord, that they will all hear. The Lord wants everyone to hear, and it's a serious responsibility that we have. Put your hands together for the Lord and rise to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Others. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us this afternoon, for ministering to our hearts. Thank you for changing us and transforming us in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone that is here an opportunity. You are here this afternoon. You are not born again. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I want to welcome Jesus Christ into my life. I need this salvation. If Jesus came all the way this far to die for me, I want to welcome him into my life. I want to receive his salvation. If that is your prayer this afternoon, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, perhaps you have been in church for a long time, but this afternoon you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I don't want to go to hell. I have come to receive the Savior. If that is your prayer, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to welcome Jesus Christ into your life? Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to welcome Jesus into your life? Is there anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Anyone here like that? Lift up your right hand. You hear the voice of God. The Lord is talking to you. It is you. He intended that you will hear this today and he wants to save you. Perhaps you will not have another chance. Surrender. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Perhaps you will not hear this again. Is there anyone here like that? Lift up your hand and I will pray with you. Anyone here like that? Why don't you all join and say this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. I have sinned. I come with a repentant heart. With a repentant heart. Please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. This afternoon, I accept you. I welcome you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed with this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Kodesh Family Church, located at 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.